Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
Pro Football Talk.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Mike Florio's on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. Creator of Pro Football Talk, the host of PFT Live, joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Mike, the sports world has been rocked and is continuing to feel the aftershocks of the purchase of professional golf by the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Fund. I imagine that the world of football is looking around thinking, could we be next? Could the entire league be next? What else could be next?
When this all started a year ago, it dawned on me that if the Public Investment Fund, which is the official name of this massive wealth fund in Saudi Arabia, wanted to set up a competitor to the NFL, it could, just like it set up a competitor to the PGA Tour. And if there is an endless supply of money, eventually that competitor becomes part of the NFL. Now, the more direct path would be to simply drop a giant pile of money in front of an NFL owner and get that owner to say, sure, I'll take that amount.
Or multiple NFL owners. It doesn't have to be just one.
Well, that's true. Now, I doubt that one body of cash would be able to own multiple teams. But at the end of the day, if enough money's involved, the NFL will do whatever it wants to do. The NFL hated gambling, despised it, actively fought against it until, number one, it became legalized. And number two, the NFL realized how much money it could make from it. Hypocrisy is no big deal if you're getting paid enough money to speak out of both sides of your mouth. And I think for something like this, whatever the number is, there's a number somewhere between zero and infinity that will cause the NFL to say, we will happily sell our soul for that. You know, I don't want to sell my house, but if somebody shows up at the front door with enough money, there's a certain number where it's ludicrous to say no. And I think that this is the one pool of assets in the world right now that could be focused on trying to get one or maybe the whole operation. I don't know what it would take, but there is a check that I would assume someone could write big enough to buy out every single NFL owner. In theory, there's a check that's big enough to do it.
I wonder also, is there an opportunity, if you're the XFL or the USFL, are you making a phone call to Saudi Arabia and saying, you know, if we got real backing, we could be competitive with the NFL?
I think everything's on the table now. Now that we've seen what's occurred over the course of the last year with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, we have to open our minds and consider any potential reality. And I've been saying for years, when you look at 30 years or so of efforts by the NFL to gradually make the game safer, and most of it's been the last 13 years since they had their concussion epiphany, October of 2009. But we've seen efforts to make the game less brutal, less violent, less dangerous to the players who play it. I've been saying that the atmosphere is ripe for someone to say, you know what? Everybody understands the risks. Guys still want to play football. They're willing to play it the way it used to be played. We're going to have an old school football league. It's going to compete with the NFL, and it's going to carve away market share because all these people have been complaining about how soft the game has gotten will flock to this thing. Well, what if that's what the public investment fund decides to buy, create, get behind? There's all sorts of ways the dominoes can fall if the public investment fund and the people controlling it decide to make the jump from golf to football.
Mike, you talked about the marriage between the NFL and gambling. We were having a discussion yesterday. Does the NFL, the NFLPA, individual teams, does there need to be some sort of summit? Because I think that we're really just at the tip of the iceberg with some of the players getting nabbed for betting, and now specifically betting on their own team's games.
This policy, to me, is far more important than the standard, usual booklet of information that gets handed to players once per year, and they go in and they sit down and they pretend to pay attention or just don't pay attention at all and have their faces in their phones the whole time. This rises above that because this is one where the hazard is obvious. If you violate the policy, you get caught, you get suspended. If you're betting on sports other than football on team property, you're looking at least 6 games. If you're betting on NFL football anywhere, you're looking at least a year. If you do it pervasively like Isaiah Rodgers of the Colts, you could be looking at a lifetime banishment. And what we need to get guys to understand, because Rodgers apparently thought it was enough to use an account that was set up in someone else's name. Big Brother, you know, George Orwell was kind of on the right track. Big Brother's not government. Big Brother is this supercomputer we carry around and we call a phone. It tells everyone who has access to this information where we are, what we do when we're there. And for NFL players who take their phones into the facilities and use the apps on the phones to bet, it's all the evidence that the sports books need. They pass it along to the gaming commission. They pass it along to the league, and you're busted and you're caught and you're done. And in a league where we see coaches get in the faces of players all the time to tell them what they need to do right and what they've been doing wrong, it astounds me that so many guys haven't been properly educated and informed on what they can and can't do. And that's rule number one. It needs to be communicated one player at a time. There needs to be signs in the facility. Don't do it. Don't bet on your phone. You'll be caught and you'll be suspended.
Orwell actually did have it right, because if you remember the telescreen in 1980,
you're right.
In 1984, the concept of Big Brother was just that. But the mechanism by which Big Brother kept tabs on you was through your telescreen. The only thing Orwell didn't have was the fact that the telescreen would be this big and in our pocket all the time.
And portable. That's right. The portable telescreen that we happily buy and don't even realize. That's the problem. We don't even realize it's this telescreen that can be used. I'll give you an example, because it seems like everybody you talk to has a story about how your phone's listening to you. My wife and I were talking recently about a possible trip later this month, and we mentioned the two cities. She got online to look at airplane tickets, and the dates that we were discussing were already queued up when she went to look for the tickets.
I mean, I'll tell you what just happened now. So earlier today, I gifted my partner a TaylorMade driver. And because he was very sad about the PGA and LIV.
I've been bought off with blood money.
Yes, he has. And we were talking about it. And as Mike comes on, I usually see what's happening on Pro Football Talk. Mm-hmm. I jump on to Pro Football Talk. The first banner that I see is for the exact TaylorMade driver that you got.
Seriously? For the stealth?
Or
wow.
It happened also with us. I remember, I think it was sitting next to Connor, and I was in the process of getting whatever latest round of goalie equipment my son needed from one of these Canadian hockey warehouses. And then all of a sudden, his phone just started populating with ads for leg pads and blockers and stuff. I mean, it just, like, it finds you. It knows you. It finds you. It's terrifying.
Pre-pandemic, I was at a restaurant talking to someone, and I did not have my phone. My phone was in the car, but I had my watch on, my Apple Watch. And he was telling me about an in-home sauna that he purchased. I didn't even know such a thing existed. I get home that night. It went from my watch to my phone to my computer. I'm getting all these ads for in-home saunas. I did not know they even made them before I had that conversation.
That's wild.
Oh, that's crazy. I also want to follow up on something I heard you mention with Mully and Haw about this idea of inevitable NFL expansion and how we're going to redefine market viability if we confront what NFL football really is, and that the concept of a stadium being a place where people come to have a shared experience to watch a game is becoming quaint, in that a stadium in large part is now a television studio where you place a live studio audience of a certain size that befits your studio or your production. And this idea that we don't need these massive mega complexes in giant cities to have markets that would be financially viable as NFL teams.
That's absolutely right. And the shared experience now isn't standing out in the elements or in a dome with all these other people who showed up to witness the game. The shared experience is through our portable telescreens as we tweet about it and we text our friends about it. And we say, did you see this play? Did you see that play? And your friend says, hey, you're ahead of me by 30 seconds. No spoilers, please. But that's where the shared experience comes from. And we know the NFL prioritizes that experience over the stadium experience by virtue of what they just did a few weeks ago with the Thursday night flexing. They don't care about the in-stadium audience. They care about the home audience. They want the best games possible for the millions who are going to watch those games all at the same time. That's what matters now. So I've talked to people in the league, and this was the point we made yesterday. There are owners out there who realize that upper deck and the extra expense versus the extra revenue, the profit margin for maintaining and having an upper deck arguably doesn't justify having the upper deck. So 40,000 seat stadium, you're going to do that? A whole new universe of potential markets opens up for NFL expansion or relocation, because it doesn't matter where the game is. All that matters is, number one, how good is the game? And number two, if it's good enough, is it in a standalone primetime window where millions can watch it?
When you're talking about that, I was wondering, what markets do you think would open up? And because I can see that future too, like, it makes a lot more sense. It's more cost effective. But what types of markets do you think would open up if that became the case?
I mean, think of your Oklahoma cities, right? That's a place that would all of a sudden, 40,000 seat stadium, no big deal. Even though Columbus has a 100,000 seat stadium for Ohio State, it's sandwiched between Cleveland and Cincinnati. I don't know what kind of pro team it could do there, but you put a 40,000 seat NFL stadium there, Columbus would be fine. I mean, any of the B level markets that currently aren't regarded as major league, they become suitable for a 40,000 seat stadium because, you know, you do the numbers, you do the market research, whatever, you know, you're going to get 40,000 locals to fill that up. If it was 80,000, you're going to be hard pressed to do it. So you do the camera angles in a way that it doesn't matter how many in there. You could eventually, I remember they called it studio wrestling when I was a kid because they did it in a TV studio in Pittsburgh.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. All you need is a place where you can play the game, broadcast the game, and enough fans in the shot to give it a sense of visceral, natural, authentic excitement. You don't need 80,000. All the shots we see of the games on TV are low angle of just the crowd right there. So there's a lot you can do once you recognize it's more about the people watching than it is about the people standing there or sitting in the stadium witnessing the event live.
I believe the average size of a stadium in the English Premier League is right around that number. I believe it's right around 40,000. And obviously you have some outliers because of promotion and relegation, and you get some like AFC Bournemouth, you know, gets called up to the league, and Man United is there at 74,000. But like nobody complains about that. I mean, but that's about what we're talking about here. And some, you know, packed into some suburban areas and urban areas for a lot of these stadiums is just fine.
Well, absolutely. And I think the reason we stumbled into this yesterday is the possibility that whenever the Bears have their new venue, wherever it is in Illinois, it becomes a viable alternative for a second team if the NFL is going to expand at some point, because you've already got the structure there. You've got the structure, you've got the population base, and you eliminate, or you at least cut in half, in theory, the cost of having the venue for an NFL team.
Mike, what do you make of this Jimmy Garoppolo contract?
Well, I know that it's not uncommon for contracts to have injury waivers based upon pre-existing conditions, but I'm not aware of a time that a quarterback had something that ultimately resulted in the elimination of his signing bonus. He was going to get $11.25 million. He showed up for the physical. He failed it. And they reworked the contract to take away his signing bonus and to push it into base salary that he won't get until he passes a physical. So to me, it was a big deal. And it's a big deal for the Raiders, even though everyone involved wants to downplay it. There's nothing for anyone to brag about here. This is the latest example of nothing to see here, which is the true NFL motto, not football is family, but nothing to see here. Mm. What happened was when the 52-hour window opened for negotiating contracts with impending free agents, within 2 hours, the Raiders had a deal with Garoppolo. When they locked onto him, what happened? Jarrett Stidham, gone for the Denver Broncos. Other potential quarterbacks they could have targeted, they do deals elsewhere. You don't find out until he shows up that he's going to fail his physical. You're taking it on faith that he's healthy. Otherwise, they wouldn't have committed to the $11.25 million signing bonus in the first place. They thought he was going to be fine. So, look, the current reports are they expect him to be fine for training camp. And maybe he will be, maybe he won't be. And then the bigger issue is, once he's healthy, does that mean he's going to stay healthy? Guy's been injured all the time the past several years. So that to me is, I think, the real issue for the Raiders. They're putting all their eggs in a basket that is proven in recent years. It breaks easily.
Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Florio. We will talk with him next week. When we come back, we've talked a lot about the Cubs and David Ross getting ejected. We're talking about the strike zone. I was listening to Tommy Hotovy talk about it today. We talked with Ian Happ about it.
We were discussing the Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah. And Matthew Trueblood, Northside Baseball, really good baseball writer, wrote a piece that there's a reason why the Cubs are fixated on the strike zone and get mad about the way the strike zone gets called. And it's unfortunately because they have to, for a couple of reasons, that the strike zone and those calls mean more to the Cubs when for a really good team, they don't mean as much. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Backdoor curve gets him looking. Amaya strikes out. All five outs have been strikeouts for Blake Snell. Two down, a man at first, and Christopher Morel coming up.
That pitch isn't even close. I mean, Phil Cuzzi's going to call that pitch. Now, that's a breaking ball that starts out off the plate away and comes, tries to get back to the plate. It's not even within inches. I mean, it's way off the plate.
Yeah, Coombe was on it on Monday because they were getting bothered by Phil Cuzzi's strike zone.
And before we start down this road in this conversation, let's say Phil Cuzzi was terrible
behind
the plate, and the Cubs were justified in their anger, and Ross getting tossed from the game justified in being angry that their pitcher wasn't getting the same pitches that Blake Snell was getting.
Well, that absolutely is true. There's a lot going on here inside the intricacies of baseball. So I also want you to hear first from Ian Happ, who talked to us yesterday about that bad zone.
Just a tough start for us. You know, Snell's definitely a guy that can be around the strike zone. And so, you know, if guys are being disciplined, you want to reward them for that kind of big spot there in the first two, where we have a couple guys on base and say it has two out of three pitches out of the strike zone. And then next inning, a couple more. And you want Hendricks to get those calls if the other guy's getting those calls. So, a good spot to get frustrated. And, you know, it was a little bit better the rest of the day. But yeah, that's just a tough start to the game. To kind of put us on that foot.
Here's Matthew Trueblood of NorthsideBaseball.com.
It's a really good piece.
Politicking and fighting over the zone by players and coaches isn't just a matter of relentlessly airing grievances and pressing selfish interests. Different teams rely on winning at the edges of the zone, and specifically on getting calls there to different extents. Unfortunately, it's become a perennial part of the Cubs' identity that they depend more on those calls than almost anyone else. This leads to more bickering, more frustration, and the risk of losing games because of the distraction that ensued when the umpire becomes the center of anyone's attention. So, why is this so? It's a byproduct of the well-known weakness of the Cubs' pitching staff, which is an inability to miss bats. This year, only the Rockies have induced swings and misses on fewer opponent swings on pitches within the strike zone than the Cubs. Think about that. As has been often documented, the Cubs don't have as many hard throwers as other teams. They don't throw as many of the pitches, especially sliders and four-seamers that induce whiffs. In the modern game, hitters do too much damage when they make contact for a pitching staff to survive long with a below-average strikeout rate. Since the Cubs can't get whiffs within the zone, they either need to induce a lot of swings outside the zone or get a very high number of called strikes. Alas, they have a below-average outside zone swing percentage, 20th in MLB. Kyle Hendricks got only six swings and misses Monday night. Marcus Stroman only got 5 on Sunday. In a 4-game series, Cubs starters combined for just 34 swings and misses. Be it again, pitches inside or outside the zone. When that element is missing from your game, you become more dependent on umpires and framing. And since one of those things varies more from one night to the next, it becomes an unhealthy area of focus. Now, he also goes in and says Cubs hitters have a similar problem.
And he's right about that. And Megan Montemurro, I want you to get back to the True Blood stuff, but Megan Montemurro had put up a graphic of the strike zone for Seiya Suzuki, and it does look like that there are a lot of pitches that are being called strikes on him that aren't necessarily strikes. And so someone had asked me, what's Seiya supposed to do? So I like really wanted to give a thoughtful answer about it. So I went back and looked at the graph again, and there were some pitches high in the zone that were actually strikes. And that's an adjustment that Seiya Suzuki is going to have to make. Outside, inside, those are bad calls. Down, those are bad calls. Those are balls that I want you to lay off of. High strikes in the zone, though, you're going to have to swing. You're going to have to start challenging yourself to maybe go a little bit out of your comfort zone to help drive in more runs.
Before we get to the hitting analysis, let's hear what Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy told Mully and Hanley about the strike zone issues this morning on The Score. Mully and
obviously, there's a lot of things that go into those moments. And obviously, Rossi was pretty frustrated with not only, you don't see in and out very well from the side. Obviously, you can see north and south. You can see high and low. You can have opinions on whether or not balls were up or down. But when the hitters are constantly coming in after every at bat, like that's a ball. And then you see the video, you pull it up on the iPad, and you see the ball's 5 inches outside, 4 inches outside, consistently getting those calls. And then you have your guy out there, he makes a pitch, the catcher catches the ball and is ready to throw it back for a strike, and nothing is called. And so you start to see the players react in those moments. You see Kyle kind of looking, and I think the last straw just there for Rossi was the pitch was thrown, and the umpire stood up and raised his hand like he was going to call a strike, and then stopped. And we were, once you start seeing those, it's really hard to kind of hold your tongue in those moments, just because obviously you want to support the players and you want to support the guys that are out there, they're fighting and competing.
This is what True Blood refers to as the unhealthy effect. You shouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Go play.
It shouldn't matter as much. Miss more bats. Meanwhile, the Cubs are 6th in MLB in their own out-of-zone contact rate, but they're 24th in making contact in the zone. They also swing less than average, both inside and outside. In short, the Cubs' offense forces umpires to make a lot of calls. They can't afford the occasional miss on the ball off the edge because they whiff too often within the zone and lack the power to consistently score enough without winning the strike zone battle. So on the pitching side, it's roster construction. They've tried to live too long without velocity and strikeout stuff. They've got to zig back toward the league. So it's less clear what the offensive problem is. Is it talent identification and acquisition, or is it approach? Like you're talking about with Seiya Suzuki. Maybe the team just needs to better grasp the situations in which they need to be dialed into a certain part of the zone versus those in which they need to seek contact where it can be found. Maybe they're not adequately anticipating what pitchers will try to do. Watching them, that feels it's the case, but it's hard to quantify. It says it's fine to have a few pitchers on the staff who depend on getting called strikes, but when the entire staff leans on it, it makes the team vulnerable.
He's right. He's right. I do think that when trying to figure out what the hitting situation is, we listen to Ian Happ talk about approach all the time. Like, he's very thoughtful. You can tell that he doesn't waste at bats. And he is thinking about, okay, what's the situation? What does the situation call for me to do? How can I most effectively help my team? Like, you can tell that he's going through that process pitch by pitch, at bat by at bat. I do think that there's still a residual of overpatience that still lingers inside the Cubs hitting organization. Think about all the times that we would talk about, like, Kyle Schwarber, for example, of saying, hey, aren't there some RBIs out there that you're leaving on the table, and you end up getting a called third strike instead of an opportunity to drive the ball. Stoney talks about this all the time with Yasmani Grandal, where Grandal, because of his limitations as a baseball player, not as a hitter, but as a baseball player, like, his walk is less than someone else's walk because you're probably going to need two more hits to score him anyway. You know what I mean? He's not going to steal a base. He's not going to go first and third. All of that stuff. You're going to need a lot of love to get Yasmani Grandal home. And I think that there's some of the Cubs hitters that's their approach. And I think it's a really good approach, but you have to understand when you have to expand the zone.
Accepting walks is different than hunting walks, right?
Agreed.
And with this, it's the old Joey Votto thing. You're a run producer, produce runs. And Joey Votto says, it's my job to not be out. But it's not like he's up there trying to walk. He's just not going to swing at a pitch outside the zone. The problem is, when the Cubs are doing that, sometimes they're vulnerable to bad umpiring.
Right.
Or great framing, or wherever the one meets the other.
Yes. And you can say, well, we'll be great once we get robot umps in here. But the truth is that the robot umps aren't here. So how are you going to produce? And is that a situation of you said it yesterday to Ian, and it's so true. They really miss Cody Bellinger.
They do. I underrated his presence. I didn't realize how much it would matter, but it does. I love this text. This is just sort of feeling it just right from the 312. So the Cubs are DeMar DeRozan.
Ooh. That's a little bit.
You know, I totally get what you're getting at there. Yeah, there's something that's a little behind the times in the way they're going about things that isn't conducive to the way other people are playing the game. That's really, but they have tried in strengthening their defense. And that's where losing Bellinger really hurts them too. Like, they're in trying to make sure that they can work on that run prevention side. The defense matters more when you don't miss bats. Ideally, you strike everybody out. Nobody wants to pitch to contact. If the contact you give up happens to be soft, that's great. But you're trying to get strikeouts.
When we look at the way that they're built, and they put a premium on run prevention, I think that it's a smart way to build a team if, on the other side of that run prevention, is you having people that can drive the ball out of the ballpark. There's no, I mean, I guess Patrick Wisdom, I guess, counts as a slugger type, but I don't even know, even with as many home runs as he's hit, if he's feared the way that other quote unquote sluggers are. Now, he is a guy that will go hunt outside of the strike zone to try and drive in runs, which is why, you know, he has the amount of strikeouts that he has in a season. But I keep looking at how their offense is built, and I say you just don't have enough. And I don't think they're going to be able to overcome this with their approach. Now, I guess the question is, how willing are you to maybe risk messing up the development of a prospect to try and get them to do more? Or you could also make the argument that should be part of their development, that Nico Hoerner should be looking to be a guy that flexes a little bit more power, that maybe there is more power in what Ian Happ can do at the plate. And maybe they can find some of that with more risk taking at the plate. But Trueblood's overarching point in this is spot on. You're making yourself susceptible to an umpire's whim. And if you get a night where Phil Cuzzy isn't seeing the ball well, or he's got the red ass or whatever, then you end up with your manager getting tossed from a game and your team still looking to figure out how to get runs.
When we return, it is time for High Noon. I know you're going to remember somebody, and I'm going to welcome somebody back.
That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Wednesday high noon means the middle of your work week. I always remind you of that. So downhill from here, and it has not been a Leila Rahimi Wednesday because she is speaking today at the University of Notre Dame.
I was on Instagram, and she just posted she's taking a walk around where all the Heismans are at Notre Dame. So, you know, she's having a good time there in South Bend. Good for her.
We've been busy on this show. We heard from Rory McIlroy getting his forlorn thoughts and unfortunate resigned thoughts about what's going on with his sport. We did a little Sox math, and we're happy with the White Sox win streak. I think I'll take them seriously when they get to 500. And the four in a row has been nice. Being 8 games under is better than being 12 games under. Winning in New York is always great. And I, with looking at the air quality warnings, I'm not sure people should be playing baseball or people should be out at baseball games in some of these East Coast cities right now. It's really getting gross out there. Mike Florio was also fantastic today as well. And we talked about a piece regarding the Cubs and why they get chippy about the strike zone. And that's because they have to care about it more than other teams do. And it's too bad.
It's high noon.
Sad news broke this morning that the Iron Sheik has passed away at the age of 81. Obviously, like, he brought a lot of people joy in his in the ring and then his microphone work inside of pro wrestling. And then I think there was a renaissance after he was retired and he kind of became this celebrity on Twitter. Because he would say some of the stuff that people were afraid to say, in some cases about the business, and then he would branch out and do other stuff. I figured that we could just run a Iron Sheik promo. This is him getting ready to battle Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Iron Sheik, it seems perhaps your manager Slick taking Rowdy Roddy Piper a bit too lightly.
You know, you speak too much anyway. Just a minute, I explain in the Midland, this coming Monday, New Jersey. Every intelligent wrestling fans around New York and New Jersey, they know about world champion, Olympic class, the Iron Sheik. My manager, Mr. Slick, said, Sheik, I know you have a lot of support. I know everybody going to say, Roddy, Roddy, Roddy. But after I suplex him and I put him in the camel clutch and I spit his body, and then everybody gonna say the Aaron Sheik number one, a Slake number one, Fred Blassie number one. خدمت همه شنوندگان ایرانی عزیز که در نیوجرسی و نیویورک زندگی میکنن سلام عرض میکنم. کامرمن زوم ات. Look at this body next to Roddy Roddy Piper body. Look at me. Look at me.
He's also credited with starting the term jabroni, mm-hmm. which the
comes
Rock
from jobber.
Yeah, which the Rock ended up, you know, kind of co-opting and using it as part of what it is that he does. But an absolute character and someone who was a lot of fun
and known as a really sweet jabroni. Guy. His real name, Hossein Khosra Ali Vaziri.
A camel clutch.
Born in 1942 in Iran.
Him and Nikolai Volkov, you know, his tag team partners.
Played all kinds of roles, sort of ironically in what we've been discussing, even though he was Persian, that he would play this role of a sheik.
Yes.
Because of the villainy of that.
Yes. And because back in the 80s, the WWF at the time was just full of racist tropes.
Oh, yeah. I went through a few of those today.
It's hard, ooh. Ray. Like, you go through some of them, and you're like, oof.
Do you remember the video game Matt Mania?
Yes.
Do you remember the names of those guys?
No.
Do you remember the black guy's name?
Was it something, he's a savage?
His name was literally Coco Savage.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
That was the name of the Kamala character.
Right.
Was Coco Savage.
Even though that character, I believe, is from Alabama. That guy is from Alabama.
Well,
I don't even think he'd ever been to Africa.
Well, that's like why they had to change, you know, Vodka Drunkinsky to Soda Popinski and all of that stuff, too. Because, I mean, look, even in the actual Punch-Out that's still there at like, the arcades around here at Emporium and headquarters, Pizza Pasta is still right before Mr. Sandman.
When you play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and you would do well against Piston Honda, goodness gracious, the things that he'd say in between rounds, and you're like, this is not right.
Not okay.
And it's definitely stuff that the WWE has trafficked in and continues to traffic in some cases. But the Iron Sheik, his legacy lives on. RIP to the Sheik.
You are Jabroni Empire.
If you've noticed, McDonald's is bringing back their old McDonaldland characters in their advertising. They brought back the Hamburglar, and now they're going to have Grimace back in the center of a campaign.
Here's what I need McDonald's to do. I need them to bring back all-day breakfast. I need it. I gotta have it.
I can't address that right now, but I can just tell you that according to Ad Age, the 52-year-old Jolly Purple Blob, I'm 2 years older than Grimace. How about that?
Well,
the 52-year-old Jolly Purple Blob.
Did he also go to Duke?
Probably. And he became a fascist.
he's a fascist judge. Right.
He's a Federalist Society appointed judge in the Florida district.
All rise. Right. The Honorable Grimace is now presiding.
He has a starring role in a new campaign pushing the Grimace birthday meal. It includes a berry-flavored purple milkshake. So I guess there's no more Mayor McCheese because of a horrible scandal, I'm sure. Just a terrible scandal.
Wrote a check to a hooker.
Yeah, and there are little kids involved. And I think Officer Big Mac is out too.
For some stops that he made.
Yeah,
some profiling stops that he made.
Officer Big Mac, he's got the Punisher logo on his shirt now. but they are gonna bring back Grimace. And now there's this, and even Craig Calcaterra was writing about this, with the debate between what Grimace is. Some say he's a taste bud. Others say he's the embodiment of a milkshake. There's been a debate over what Grimace is. I guess
I never really thought about what Grimace is, but it's an excellent question.
They say Jolly Purple Blob. I'm pretty sure he's just that. And I don't, are the French fry guys coming back?
Fry guys, yeah.
Hey, fry guy. French fries, French fries. I don't know, because those are the commercials of my youth, where everything had kind of an HR Puffin stuff vibe to
it. Well, there's a whole like retro thing going on, right? Like Burger King brought back their old melody.
Yeah.
And they just keep
have it your way.
Yeah, doing all sorts of stuff. Why can't
I hate that song?
Really?
It's just the worst.
I think that
hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special I think you, orders don't upset.
Yeah, he hates this version of the song. I don't even know if Studs heard the older version.
I'm
of
sure
the song.
I did. I hate this version.
You hate where the guy's just screaming whopper, 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 whopper. Yeah, I do too. But yeah, if we're in a retro age, you might as well bring back the fry guys too.
But apparently, this the in Calcaterra notes that there's redemption arcs within the McDonaldland characters. As Grimace was originally an antagonist that stole beverages and shakes. Also, the Hamburglar was a villain.
Yeah, because he would steal burgers.
He was the Hamburglar, but now he's more of a lovable rogue.
Stop! He's already dead.
McDonaldland has many similarities with the real world, since, for example, Uncle O'Grimacy, a character originally created for St. Patrick's Day to promote the Shamrock Shake. I don't remember Uncle O'Grimacy.
I don't either.
I do remember what the Shamrock Shake used to do to me. And I remember having my first one, and I remember the aftermath, and I remember running down the hall, screaming, crying.
Was this the one where your mom like had to come pick you up? Or
No. I was home, but I was terrified, because that's not supposed to be green. But the forever chemicals at the time in the Shamrock Shake, when I thought I had some, I was turning into an alien, or I thought I had some awful disease, and I was terrified.
Or a superpower.
I don't know what it was. All I know is that's not supposed to be that green, and it was frightening. Oh, speaking of racist characters, are my sister and I the only people who remember the Chicago area McDonald's had their own commercials for an orange shake called Arctic Orange. And they had...
I remember the Arctic Orange shake.
And they had an Asian man pretending to be an Eskimo speaking in Eskimo gibberish.
Ooh,
like standing on Lake Michigan in an anorak.
Ooh,
don't you remember? Like,
I don't.
I'm not even going to do it. Like, I can sing it, but I'm not going to.
No.
And it was
please don't.
No, I'm not going to, but I remember the fake gibberish like Aleut or Inuit lyrics that they put together to promote the Arctic Orange Shake. I don't think it was national. I think it was regional. Might have been Chicagoland McDonald's or Midwestern McDonald's. But I can't find it anywhere, and I think my sister and I are the only people that remember it.
A texter says Uncle O'Grimacy is still doing time for driving a float into a playground during the Southside Irish Parade.
Let's talk baseball with Steve Stone when we come back on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.